WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm going to break you, bitch. You hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it for free. All you have to do is click that little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe to this channel for free for 30 days. It is that simple. And if you'd like to follow the channel, you can hit that button as well. Or if you just want to hang out and chat, that's cool too. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
For Royal Rumble Preview Night.
Yas.
Yas.
Excited.
This music's pretty okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a banger. I'm okay with it.
Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Record Show, Lindsay Ward, or come to WildTalkRadio.com, RecordShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WRadio to listen to the program. Interact with us, and just pay attention throughout the show, because you never know what will happen.
Yeah, I mean, we got all kinds of surprises around here. We're those two fun, hip-happening people. I don't know. We have a lot to get into. As we said, we are previewing the Royal Rumble. We also do have one major news story that we do have to talk about, and we're going to get into that in just a second. So, you know, everybody buckle up and get ready for that, because you know what? I say we just go into it.
Let's get into it. Presented by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Let's go.
All right. So, we had no intention of discussing this, mainly because we had no idea this was going to get announced. Our plan for this show was we were just going to do the Rumble. We were going to do an entire hour and 30 minutes on the entire Royal Rumble show. We were going to dedicate that to you, and we probably will, just as an FYI. We do nothing quickly on this show. Anyway, so WWE dropped on Monday morning, of all days and times, good time to do it, honestly, that they have made a deal with Comcast to shift the U.S. portion of the WWE Network, European and international or I should just say all the international networks are staying online, but the U.S. version only is being shifted to Peacock as NBC, Universal, Comcast, whatever you want to call it, has bought the exclusive streaming rights to the WWE Network. This is huge. They've essentially sold it for... Leased, sold, however you want to phrase it, for $1 billion over 5 years.
Wait, what was that again?
$1 billion. This is on top of the money that they're getting from NBC for USA and for all the TV programming that they're doing.
Which is $1 billion there, and Fox gives them $1 billion.
So basically, they're going to be keeping the lights on for a while.
The lights will stay on at the Titan Towers.
Everybody that is like poo-pooing this is a strategic and strong move by WWE, and I'm going to tell you why. Because this opens the door to every Comcast and Cox subscriber in the United States. So people that are WWE fans that maybe don't want to pay for the network, maybe just only pay, like, sign up to get the pay-per-views and then discontinue the membership, you know, whatever, however they're doing it. Or maybe it's just casual wrestling fans that, hey, they see an advertisement for Raw on the Peacock. It's like, hey, let's check that out. Or there's an advertisement for WrestleMania. Hey, let me check that out. They can, because all Cox and Comcast subscribers get the premium version for free.
If you're an X1 subscriber or a Flex subscriber, which means you have the top tier service, you get it for free because those are the platforms with the streaming boxes.
That opens up a much larger audience than the 1 million to 1.5 million, I think, subscribers.
1.1 million in the U.S.
Okay. That the WWE Network currently has.
26 plus million on the Comcast and Cox. 26 million people have Peacock.
But depending on your level of service, there's going to be a tier of the network that is for free and is on the free level of Peacock. When you go up to the premium version of Peacock, that's where you get your pay-per-views, your WrestleMania, all of that stuff, which, by the way, this deal does include the Big Four. So there you go. And then you can get an ads-free version for $9.99. So essentially, if you're a WWE subscriber, what's going to happen is in March, your membership is going to get transferred over to Peacock. And you're only going to be paying $4.99 because you're going to get the premium service. But wait, it gets better because we're going to tell you a trick. If you're an X1 subscriber or you're the one for Cox, which, what was it again?
I don't know what Cox has.
Okay, whatever Cox's level is that's on X1, I don't have their service.
It's just Cox. I guess their boxes are already...
Okay, whatever you have with Cox, if you get the premium service for free with Xfinity and with Cox at a certain level. I don't know what it is for the other side. I know it's X1 for Xfinity. You can discontinue your network membership in March and essentially get it for free.
Yeah.
So you get WrestleMania, you get all the pay-per-views, you get all the WWE Network content for free.
And The Office.
And
you get The Office.
Plus lots of other wonderful programming, but the main thing is you get all the WWE content if you have the premium service for free if you're already a subscriber. Now you will get ads with it,
which are like the Hulu ads, start yeah. of and during commercials. You get the 30-second ad.
So if you want to go up to the ad-free version, that's only going to cost you, I think, $4.99 because they're giving network subscribers like a half off or something.
Yeah, you would pay the $5.
Which, okay, all right. I mean, I'm paying $9.99 for the WWE Network now, so I end up only paying $5 for no ads. Okay, all right. I'm on board with that. Save myself a little money.
Sign me up right there.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're okay with the ads, which I would recommend everybody try it just to see how invasive they really are, you know, you're essentially not paying anything for it if you have those services. If not, you do have to pay the $4.99 for the premium Peacock service. But like I said, all WWE Network subscribers are just going to get commuted over and they're going to slash your rate in March. So it's going to be hopefully be a relatively painless transition.
Which it won't, but hopefully it will be.
I'm personally excited about this.
So let's give some details. It debuts March 18th on Peacock. The first event will be on the 21st, which is Fastlane. There will be an on-demand service featuring the 17,000 plus hours of the WWE Network's original, new, and library programming. So that means all your old pay-per-views and Raws and SmackDowns and WCWs and ECWs, etc., etc. All the new WWE 24 specials, the Stone Cold podcast, all the WWE podcasts they put up, all will be available. There will be a 24/7 live channel like it used to be, like that you could just click it on, there would be a channel, but there still is a live channel, but they don't promote it as much. There'll be a live streaming channel on the Peacock servers. All WWE events will be on the servers. All of them. And they got on the NBC head today, talked about how there'll be a lot of free content on the free version of the Peacock, which is the very ad heavy package. So that's cool. One other detail, WWE will produce one signature documentary annually for the WWE Network on Peacock. So that would probably be exclusive to the Peacock brand of the network.
Yeah. And this is a great deal from them, because this takes it from them basically having to have the overhead on the network and having to run the network. And granted, they will still have some because they're doing it for international, but this takes the pressure off for US and essentially just makes them a content creator where they can then lease their content out to providers. So if they wanted to continue on Peacock after 5 years, they could. If they want to develop something different, they could. If they want to go somewhere else, they can. Like, this puts them in a much more advantageous position than having the network. And don't get me wrong, when the network first debuted, it was groundbreaking. That is one of the beautiful things about WWE and technology is they always tend to stay a little bit ahead of the curve, and they're kind of seeing the trend, right? The app was great when it first started up. The network was great when it first started up. It solved a problem for them. But the network and the app, it's like, yeah, it's great, but it's one more thing I have to pay for. It's one more thing I have to subscribe to. You can't get it on all your devices. Like, I can't get it on my TV. I had to go buy a Roku stick just to get the WWE Network on my TV because they said my device was too old when they did the upgrade, and then they took it off the Samsung store for me. So I can't even have it on my TV, which was very annoying.
What it showed is that the growth of the network stagnated.
Yeah. That's where I was going.
The growth is just stagnated. And you talk about how they were a trendsetter. So you and I watch HGTV, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do we see ads for all the time right now?
Discovery Go. Everybody's got
Discovery
an app
Plus.
Now.
Discovery Plus.
Discovery Plus, whatever it is.
And everyone has a Plus service now. Paramount Plus. Disney Plus. Everything is going streaming.
Because what you're doing is WWE realized that and saw the trends that a lot more people, especially with the power of mobile devices, were watching more stuff on their phones. And they weren't necessarily sitting at home watching TV. They wanted to watch Raw or SmackDown or a pay-per-view or a show from 20 years ago on their phone while maybe they're just chilling out and hanging out somewhere. So they made that available to people, and other content providers picked up on that. And you have to remember, WWE put the network out 5 years ago, 6 years ago now?
Oh, no, it was seven or eight.
Seven or eight?
2000, WrestleMania 30, so 7 years ago.
Okay, so 7 years ago, they developed the network, and they put it out, and they developed it as an app. And everybody kind of laughed at them when they did it. And then people started seeing the trend, and now you're seeing almost every major network out there developing their own app, developing their own content network that they put their stuff out online for people to watch their stuff on their phones. Because WWE saw the goddamn trend before it ever happened, or as it started to happen, and they got on board with it. And everybody else followed suit. So now WWE is seeing that the app is waning, right? They're seeing that their subscribership isn't really growing, and it's like, okay, what's the next step for this? Because they don't want to have to continue to try and maintain it, continue to try to push it, only to have their subscribership fall. Because part of this is, especially right now, this is their bread and butter. This is how they're making money. They are not touring. They are not running shows with fans. So they have no ticket revenue. And yes, the TV deals are helping with the money, but the network is really helping to pay for a lot. That was one of the really scary things when they went to the network, was they were cutting that pay-per-view money almost completely out.
Which is the case. And this will now show that WWE does not have to be the touring circus it once was, because right now in the world we're living in, you can't do that. A year from now, things will probably be different, and they'll be back up fully as a touring service, but probably not at the level they once did, because now they don't need to, because now they have guaranteed money coming in from networks and the WWE network. So they'll be good for a while, which means instead of running house shows every weekend, every other weekend, Talent will not have to work as much. Talent will be in better shape, condition, have a better peace of mind going forward because they don't have to be on the road as much because WWE sees what the trend is.
Mm-hmm. And they were seeing their house show attendance start to wane. And so it's less frequent travel is better for everybody. It's like it makes it more of an attraction if they're only coming like once a year. And it's only going to be, you know, like you're only going to get to see these people as opposed to like when you live in a major market, they come 2, 3, 4, 5 times a year. And it's like, yeah, I went last time. It wasn't really that great. I'm not going to go this time. The other side to this, like I said, is this gives WWE the opportunity to now develop the next step for themselves while they're creating the content over the 5 years. So they're going to watch this, they're going to look at it, and they're going to see where we're at technology-wise in 5 years. And they may not renew with Peacock. They may. You don't know, but it's like, for me, this is a smart business move for them. This is a great move for them because it just opens a lot of doors. Does it have its negativity? Yeah. If you don't have Comcast, if you don't have X1 and you have to subscribe to Peacock to get the network, yeah, that sucks. It's another app. It's another icon. It's another thing that you have to deal with, and that's no fun. But you're trading one for the other, essentially. And I think with Xfinity and Cox's servers, you're going to have a stronger network. You're going to have more availability, so hopefully you won't have as much trouble as the network tends to have when they have major server overload for the big events.
They're going to put them to the test. This will be the Peacock's biggest test going forward is handling a WWE event, which is why they're doing Fastlane first as the test event, just like they did in the past where they did that, where way back when the network first debuted, they did the first ever NXT arrival event. That was the test event for the network to see if it could handle the live streaming. Like, they have live network channels going, but this is an event. Because going forward, Peacock's about to expand. They're going to probably have the NHL. They're going to have NASCAR. And probably Olympic coverage. All on Peacock. Which means WWE's in a good spot.
Yeah, they're in a really good spot right now. So, congratulations to them. And I hope it all goes well. I personally can't wait for March.
But here's the thing. We keep downplaying it, but now you're getting the WWE content and all NBC content.
Yeah, you're getting basically your own NBC network.
You get,
which is what you already have, but now it's like, here's the thing, at some point, and this is the way that I see it, at some point traditional TV is going to go away. Where we have it now, where we have the cable boxes and everything like that, right? Where we subscribe to a cable service and you get 120 or 220 or however many channels. And at some point, they're going to just a la carte it, where it's you get the channels that you want or you get a specific channel package that you want. So it's like if you want a sports package, you get these channels and then you can add on the other channels that you like to watch and then you can add and subtract as you need to. That's where this feels like this is going, where you can subscribe to NBC, you can subscribe to Discovery, and you get access to these channels, this content, and that's all you necessarily need, because especially with smart TVs, you can hardwire them and you're never going to have streaming trouble, and you can stream just as easily as you can have a cable box.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I foresee eventually this is all going to go, is it's just we're going to get rid of the traditional cable boxes, traditional cable channels. And it's just, that's what we're going to go to.
Just like we got rid of the antenna, the boxes are next.
Yeah, because it's like, well, it's all through the cloud. It's all, I can install apps on my TV or I can install apps on my phone and it's all right there. And I can just sort through and get what I want. Mm-hmm. And I can watch what I want. So if I want to sit here and watch all 5 seasons of Hometown in one day, I can do it. Well, actually, no, technically I can't do it. There's not enough hours in the day. I have to sleep at some point. But you get my point. Like, if I just want to sit here and watch my favorite shows over and over again, I can. And I don't necessarily have to pay the same level of money that I'm paying for cable as what I do now. Because it's like, I pay for a specific amount of channels on cable. How many of them do I watch? 5. But I have them. Like, I have all this crap I pay for that I never watch, but it's there.
You get 2 versions of the same HD channel.
Yeah, I wish I could get rid of like the SD service. That would be really nice. Like, all my TVs at this point in my house are HDTV. HD, not HGTV.
No, you said it. You said it right.
I know, but it's like it didn't sound right to me. I'm just making sure that I said it right.
No, I mean, your channels are just HGTV.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's on right now. Like, I'm looking at it.
plug. If you'd like to sponsor this show, you can contact us at
media@wildtalkradio.com.
So yeah, anyway, that's kind of where I just foresee this all going. And either way, this is a very smart business move by WWE. Anybody out there that's naysaying it, that's like, oh, this is the stupidest move ever. No, it's not. No, it's not, because they wouldn't have done the deal if it was stupid, especially right now. Like, they're seeing their trends. They're seeing what the network's doing. They're seeing what their house shows attendance is doing. They understand that this will open them up to a whole new audience, or an old audience, depending on how you look at it, that they haven't had in a while. Because obviously when they put everything on the network, they cut a certain group of people out. And prior to this deal, they were talking about adding tiers to the network where you had like a free version and then the $9.99.
Which is what we have now, is free and $9.99.
But they were talking about doing that next tier.
Mm-hmm.
And putting ads on the $9.99, this simplifies this for them. Where again, it lets them do what they do best, create the content, and then NBC will distribute it for them. It's really a win-win deal for them, and they're still maintaining control of the network. So if they decide, hey, we don't want this out there anymore, they can take it down. Like, you know, certain things of the past. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great deal.
I'm looking forward to learning Peacock.
Yes, it should be very, very interesting.
So as we go to break, Nikki Bella and Artem get married this Thanksgiving weekend.
Actually, Tim, my grandparents have a smart TV.
Matt.
They don't really know how to use it, but they have one. And
Matt.
It's HD.
Not Tim, Matt.
No, that's WTR Live.
That's me.
Oh, that's you.
You're yelling at me.
Okay, my grandparents have a smart TV. They don't know how to use it, but it's HD.
It was a joke. Good lord, go to break.
Anyway, we are going to take our first and only break. So, I'm going to warn everybody now. Go get a snack, go to the bathroom, go get something to drink, go do what you need to do. Because when we are coming back, we are going to be talking all about the Royal Rumble, and we have a lot to get into, and we like to go long on this. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Yowie wowie, we'll be right back!
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends. Join us for the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
That moment when a debate actually breaks out during the Greater Than Great Debate.
And it's Lauren from Boy Meets World taking on Terrence Winningham, sister.
I'm going with that homewrecker, Velma, from the Scooby-Doo movies.
Lauren cannot win. She tried to break up the best couple in the world, so she gets eliminated.
No, Lauren's moving on.
No, she's getting eliminated.
Brock, fuck you.
She's getting eliminated. She tried to break. She tried
you.
She tried to break them up.
No, it's not her fault. Okay,
it is her totally her fault.
If he had doubt, then it's on him.
It's her fault.
No, she didn't do anything. She was just there. Corey was the one who took the steps.
She knew what she was doing.
No, she didn't do anything.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
Okay, this is the Greater Than Great Debate right now, okay? No. Lauren didn't do anything. She didn't pressure him. She didn't put him in any weird situation. She was just there.
Who was the one who left the note?
All she did let him know her feelings. She didn't say, come meet me in my room and bone me.
Do you know what the note actually said? No. Thank you. Get her out of here.
Join us for more Greater Than Great Debates. Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern, during CB Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Gore, of course, too. Yes! Yes! It happened! Rock is secretly fuming right now.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rat Radio Show. Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available and you'd like to use it here, well, all you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free for 30 days. Just hit the button, use the button, you know, do the thing. You also follow the channel there, and, well, if you just want to hang out and chat and, you know, chat it up, we're fine with that, too. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. So, I hope y'all got comfy, because it's Rumble time, y'all. We're here to discuss the 2021 Royal Rumble, and God, does this feel like years from last year.
So, we can officially say where we're starting our preview right now?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we're starting the preview of the Royal Rumble, which takes place live this Sunday on the WWE Network. I love the Royal Rumble. It's my favorite event of the year, besides WrestleMania.
It's the kickoff to the road to WrestleMania and where we get Wrestling Christmas, although I don't think we're going to have Wrestling Santa this year because he retired.
He retired, but you never know.
You never know. Breaking case of glass, I guess, but, you know, he could at least come out and wave his hat. That would be nice. And I have to say, and by the way, this is wrong, but I didn't know what Tim's name was in chat, so I'm sorry I yelled at you.
No, you're not.
No, not at least. Anyway, so normally we have a clue as to where they're going for WrestleMania, kind of what they're targeting, who they're targeting. And last year, just for comparison, we had a very clear picture. We kind of knew. And then everything kind of changed. And it's still changing because this year is actually very, very difficult to call this show. Just as we were doing our initial review of the Rumble and that kind of thing, or Rumbles, I should say. And it was hard to pick a winner. It's hard to decide who's going to win because you just don't know. You just really honestly don't know. And honestly, I'm down with that. I want to be surprised.
The years that are the best is when there are surprise elements involved. When you don't know who exactly who's going to walk out on top. I mean, it's very obvious that there are certain people you kind of know, but you hope in the back of your mind maybe they'll do something different. Maybe they'll spice things up. But you legitimately do not know. There isn't a clear favorite. There isn't.
No.
You can think you know, but you really don't know just because. Someone asked, what is the Royal Rumble? It's when you throw your opponent over the top rope and both feet must hit the floor at the same time. Anyway, the two Royal Rumble matches, we're breaking both down. We're bookending with the Royal Rumble matches. We're starting with the women's, right?
Right.
And you look through the entire roster. And I mentioned this Sunday that where it's like, they've announced a few people. I believe they've announced like 10 or 11 people in total so far, mm-hmm. which means there's like up to 19 other people left to pick. And they're all surprises. And you can go to wildtalkradio.com/dishingitout, and you can see my predictions for both the men's and the women's order. So going through all that, I went, there are a lot of names that you go, no, but maybe, and then maybe. And, ooh, that's a good pick right there, when you just look at names.
Mm-hmm.
And before the show, we were going through some names, and you jotted some down. So who are some of the names that fell into the maybe category?
All right, so my maybes are as follows. Bailey, Bianca, Charlotte, Miss Bliss, Toni Storm, and Rhea Ripley.
That name right there, that last name, a year ago was on the highest of highs coming into this whole WrestleMania season. She was put in a spot where she was taking that NXT Women's Championship and bringing it to WrestleMania. Charlotte chose her. They were going to WrestleMania. And they had their match. It was a fine match in front of nobody, but they had their match.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of lost her spark a little. This type of match is earmarked for someone like her, a powerhouse, to come in and dominate and reignite that spark. Like, she's a name that no one's thinking about, but could win the entire thing. And you can now believe she can go on to WrestleMania. Wonder why? Because she did it last year. She went to WrestleMania as a champion.
I would love to see Rhea come in and just dominate the Rumble and win. Because it's something different. It's something unique. They've had her down in the... She started out in the Mae Young Classic, and then she went to NXT UK.
Completely changed her look.
Yeah, she completely reinvented herself in UK, got herself over in UK. She came here to the United States where she's just been dominant. And they've done a wonderful job with her in terms of allowing her to keep everything that she's created and help her drive it forward. And she would be that very, and I'm going to keep using the word because it's really the only way to describe her, the very dominant female character that they're kind of lacking in the women's division on the main roster. And I know that at this point, NXT is like a third brand. It's not necessarily developmental versus main roster, but I've called it main roster for like 5 years now. So there we go. Anyway.
She is everything they want out of Nia Jax. She's big, she's powerful, but she's not like Nia big, but she's powerful.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Nia big. Like, Nia is a better worker
and character and everything like that.
Yeah, it's better. Rhea has more of a presence.
Yes.
Rhea has more of a personality. She has more of an attitude. And I think part of the problem with Nia Jax is they brought her into NXT. They were training her, and I think in the process of her being trained, they brought her up. And she's kind of one of those that they brought up too soon because they wanted her on the main roster. And she suffered for it because she never really has found her way. She's tried different things. And when they put her with someone, she's generally better because she needs that person to play off with. Like when it was her and Alexa, they did really well together. And you really enjoyed what Nia was doing. But like with what she's doing with Shayna, it's just not working for me. Like, it's just very sort of eh. And I feel like Rhea coming up, she would add that spark and that push to the division that it needs. Like, it just desperately needs at this point. Because I feel like, especially in watching the women's matches, particularly on Raw this past Monday, that, like, some of the drive is gone. Like, some of that hunger, some of that push, some of that drive is just not there anymore. And that can be totally because there are just no fans, right? It's not an exciting place to necessarily work because you're not in front of 20,000 screaming fans. You're in front of a bunch of, like...
Screens.
And you can hear the noise, and I'm sure that makes it better, but it's just not the same experience. So I don't want to say that they've just completely lost everything, but they need something to come in and push them a little bit, it feels like. And I think Rhea could definitely push that drive just a tad.
You look at someone like Charlotte Flair. She's best when she's pushed by someone on her level. Rhea Ripley is someone on her level that can make her work. So having Rhea on there, and Charlotte's a really competitive person, that would bring the best out of Charlotte, which will bring the best out of Rhea, and then everyone else underneath going, look at them, I want to be them. It just, the hunger, it drives it.
Now, another name that I brought up that we need to talk about, because they kind of teased it this past Wednesday on NXT, is Toni Storm. they've brought Toni Storm over to the U.S. from U.K. She did everything she could over there. Toni is a star. 100% a star.
Her entrance makes her look like a rock star every time she comes out.
And she's got that look, that feel, everything that you're like, yes, yes, ma'am, keep doing what you're doing. So they had her beat down Io Shirai this past week on NXT, and she's standing there as they're fading to commercial, holding the women's championship up to her face and cradling it, and basically indicating that she's going for Io's title. Now, you certainly don't need her to win the Rumble to go for Io's title. You can set that up without it. But there is precedence for somebody winning the Rumble and then going for an NXT champion, because at this point, the titles are now open to everything. It's not just Raw and SmackDown. NXT's there too. And Charlotte did it last year. You could easily have Toni Storm win the Rumble and be like, hey, Io, sup?
I want you here at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I want to face you at WrestleMania, because they could bring, since they're taking it across 2 days again, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the NXT titles don't show up on WrestleMania again.
It's very possible.
Because they may not. Are they doing a takeover? Has anybody heard?
They're not doing a takeover.
So yeah, then I would almost guarantee that the titles are going to show up on WrestleMania.
Unless they're going to do a two-hour network, not network, USA Network takeover thing. That Wednesday.
But you could still have the defense, and then they go have somebody help them defend against somebody else, and then do the match.
They could do something, men or women. Something could happen, since it's more than, it's going to be like 4 hours each day, something like that.
But you had maybes too.
Go through your list again. Keep going, because mine are basically yours at this point, so keep going.
Okay. Alexa Bliss, I just threw her in here because she's a really strong contender. She's been putting in her best work with all the brace stuff, but I think... So she is a definite possibility that they could have her win the Rumble and she goes on to WrestleMania for challenging a title at WrestleMania.
I mean, she is the most developed character on the roster right now. And
she's not a child, by the way.
She's not a child. I'm not going to go down that tangent. She is the best character they have on television right now on Monday Night Raw. And putting her into a title match on the stage, we've already seen where she can deliver in a championship match at a WrestleMania, she's a very possible contender, but we'll see. Again, she's more storyline right now than in ring, but you could see them doing something with her. She's in the contender. She would probably be my final four, maybe.
Maybe. Like, I just have to think about it and see, because it's like, I just put her in there because it's like, yes, like you said, she is the most developed, but it's like, at the same time, whatever Bray's doing at Mania, she will probably be very wrapped up in that. And also, they're not going to necessarily be able to do the quick character changes, like what she's been doing as of late over the last 2 weeks. She's not going to be able to flip back and forth between the two characters as easily, because they're going to have fans in attendance at WrestleMania, so you just can't do the flip.
No, but I expect by WrestleMania, whatever the character is, will be a final form for the, for whatever match she has. It'll be the final form of the darkness.
Yeah, so she may not flip, but we'll just have to see. But I put her in there because it's like, you know what? If anybody is worthy of it, it's definitely Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte, you don't need to explain. It's Charlotte, but I think the creepy storyline that she's involved with is going to take her out of contention. Bianca Belair,
quite possibly. One thing on Charlotte, quite possibly, yeah. I think, she is Charlotte Flair. Like,
if you need a
money match at WrestleMania, she can deliver it, and she doesn't need to win the Rumble to be in the title match at WrestleMania. She can go defeat Asuka at Chamber or Fastlane and get in that title match and face any of the winners of this match. And it would be a 5-star main event classic, because that's how good she is.
Yeah, it's kind of insane.
Skip Bianca. Let's talk about Bayley first.
Bayley. Again, she's right on the level with Charlotte. She's one of the best that they have. She's kind of taking a step back because obviously they're cooling her off a little bit from having that massive carry at the beginning of 2020 and throughout 2020. So they're cooling her off a little bit, taking her out of the title picture to let Sasha face someone else. So I don't think she will win the Rumble, but she's always a possibility to win.
Because when it comes to SmackDown, there aren't a lot of top names on that brand. So if you want to go and give us the real main event of WrestleMania at the show instead of having it be at, you know, what it was at Hell in a Cell.
So bitter about that.
So bitter. They could go back to Sasha and Bayley at WrestleMania for the championship It is a guaranteed match that works in that environment on the big stage.
Yep.
And it's something she hasn't done. She's never won the Rumble. So.
She's never won the Rumble, and Bianca Belair's never won the Rumble, and she could actually be a contender. And the reason why is I want Bianca versus Sasha. I kind of need that in my life just because of how good I see that going in my head, just in terms of the promos, in terms of the matches. Like, those two girls will show up, glow up, and get it done.
Yeah, they will. 100%. Okay, so we started this preview out by hyping up Rhea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bianca has it.
Bianca has everything.
She has the tools to make it on top of the WWE in the women's division. They just have to figure out what the right time is and shoot her on that rocket and go. And with everything that's going on, she can deliver and be in that spot. She can get the rub Rhea got last year and go, Bianca Belair, main eventer.
They've had her up on the main roster for about a year now.
She came up the night after WrestleMania.
And they've really kind of been sleeping on her. They really haven't done a lot with her. They had her with the Street Profits. That didn't really go anywhere. They had her do a few other things here and there. But beyond that, she's really kind of been sort of quiet. And they've just been, like I said, they've just been sleeping on her. So I think this is the perfect time that you could break her out, especially in a division that really needs that breakout star on SmackDown. You need to create challengers for Sasha. You need to rebuild the women's division, because the women's division on SmackDown has been relatively quiet. And some of that has to do with COVID. Some of that has to do with injuries. But it's 2021, man. Let's go.
So we're talking about the Royal Rumble and Bianca Belair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we all remember what happened last year? How dominant she was in that match.
Did she get the record?
Either she has the record or she's very close to the record. Because she and Alexa Bliss, the first half of that Rumble last year, just dominated that thing. And she went and proved herself. It was like, it was at that moment you went, okay. She went from, okay, she has solid matches too. Okay, this girl, she's got it. Like, that was the start of her breakout. And then, because of everything that happened, she got called up, but it just wasn't like, the timing wasn't there because of everything going on, and the world took a massive crap. So,
yeah.
So, like, it took her until leaving Raw and heading to SmackDown to be put in this position where she's in a top or top tier spot because of, there's no one above her in that type of role. Like, you have Bayley and Sasha, and then you have Bianca. On Raw, for a while, you had Charlotte and Asuka, and there's just a bunch of other girls who have been established on that brand, and she could never sort of, like, wedge herself in there. Now the focus can be on her, and that's good. And it adds to, it helps that, you know, she's of color, and they could market it differently.
Mm-hmm.
It helps that out. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just another tool they can use. So you look at this entire thing and go, boy, there are a lot of people. And then Brent goes, Becky could win this. You know what? She could. Will she?
No.
No.
Just for the record, Bianca is tied with Shayna Baszler for most eliminations.
There you go.
Becky. Okay. I want to talk about Becky.
Let's talk about Becky's chance in this Royal Rumble, shall we?
Because lady bodies and pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just explain.
Okay.
Becky is probably not 100% fully healed yet. Does she look phenomenal? Yes. Did she not gain a lot of weight with the baby? It doesn't look like she did, and she kept herself in really, really good shape throughout the pregnancy, probably for a quick return to the WWE. But the baby is only 2 months old at this point, pushing 3 months.
No, she gave birth beginning of December.
So what, 3 months, 4 months?
It's January. It's the end of January, 2 months.
So 2 months. So 2 months old. The baby is 2 months old. She's, one, not going to travel essentially with a newborn.
No, she's not. Oh, sorry about that. Get rid of that screen. Anyway.
You got to learn to, like, nuke your food before we're on break, Rock.
Sorry.
God.
Sorry. Anyway.
She's not going to leave a newborn. Could she? Yes. Like, it's entirely plausible that Becky could show up in the next 3 months. Will she? I'm betting no. They don't really need her to.
Okay.
And her body hasn't fully healed yet. We also don't know if she had the baby naturally or she had to have a cesarean, because she had to have a cesarean. That's going to take her longer to heal. But she's probably not fully healed yet. She probably just stopped bleeding, honestly.
Here's the thing. What's missing from WWE right now? Crowds. Why bring her back when she can't get a pop?
I mean, honestly, I would hold her out for the summer. I would hold her back till you have full crowds.
Yeah. I mean, that's obvious.
I would hold her back.
Yeah.
She carried the company. She did a wonderful job. And she's earned her rest. And I'm sure she wants to get back to work. I'm sure she's very eager. But at the same time, it usually takes you a while to recover, especially for physical activity. So take your time, enjoy your time with your newborn, because you only get to have this once with them, and enjoy it. And wrestling will be there for you when you get back. But yeah, I think a lot of people are pushing for Becky to come back, but it's like, she just gave birth, guys. Like, typically, how long was Brie out? Brie was out for almost like, what, a year and a half? Two years?
No, wasn't that long.
No, she was out for like a year and a half, because it's 9 months plus however long you take to recover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you meant from when she had the baby and then a year and a half.
Yeah, no. Total time. She was out like a year and a half.
Something like that.
It's generally about right for how long you're out.
Trying to figure it out, but anyway. So another name, because let's go with odd names that are being tossed out and how people are betting, right?
Mm-hmm.
The rowdy one, Ronda Rousey.
I mean, you could have her show up, but I would save her for crowds.
Exactly. You don't need her. She's a WrestleMania surprise. She's a night after WrestleMania surprise. She's back. Big crowds. Again, could she appear tomorrow on Sunday and be part of the Royal Rumble? Yeah. If she has that itch. She might not have the itch to come in and do a Royal Rumble. She probably has an itch to do a match. But there's no crowds yet. Wait. That's the thing. This year's Rumble is different. You could bring in people from the past, and they'll bring in a few people. Like I was speculating in the column, it's like the block, whatever you want to call it. Like you could bring back Melina. Why bring back Melina? One, she was just there. Do you remember back in the first Rumble they did? It was like they had all the legends there right beforehand, and half of them appeared in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
She was just there, so she went through the. She went through the process that you have to go through right now with WWE, the testing process. She's one of them. I think there's been rumors of all read everything. Brent's favorite. You never know.
You don't know. Like, here's the thing. They don't have 30 women to fill out the women's match. So they're going to have to pull from NXT. They're going to have to pull from surprises. They're going to have to pull from a lot of different places to make up the 30 entrants. So it's going to be very interesting to see who appears in this Rumble and how it goes, because ultimately we don't really know where they're headed for WrestleMania. And here's something to keep in mind. They are targeting having fans at WrestleMania, but they do not have the green light yet, I think, to do it. We won't know if they're actually going to be able to until next month, which is essentially, you know, what, 3-4 days away?
Mm.
At this point, but it's going to be mid-February before we really know if they're going to get the all clear for fans and how that's going to work. So, again, we just have to wait and see, but that's what makes this so exciting, is it's like, there's a direction, we just don't see it yet. And I'm okay with that.
So, with all that being said, who wins? Who's the last woman standing?
You know, I like Rhea. I'm going with Rhea.
All right. You're going Rhea. I mean, the obvious answer, based on all the expert opinions I've heard, Charlotte. My brain goes Bianca Belair.
I would be fine with Bianca Belair, too. I think either Bianca or Rhea is a really strong contender to win. Charlotte is great, but Charlotte just...
She got it last year.
She got it last year. She's won it. She doesn't need it. She can get into the title match, like you said, without having it. So... Charlotte just doesn't do it for me. Give it to somebody who needs it. Give it to somebody who could absolutely benefit from the bump of winning it. And Bianca or Rhea could both really benefit from that.
I agree.
So, all right. Moving on. The match nobody's looking forward to, so we're putting it right here because we can. The WWE Championship is on the line as Drew McIntyre is challenged by Goldberg for the title in a standard non-stip match.
So, when you look at this match...
I cry.
Everyone cries and cringes going, oh no, not again. So, it was mentioned by Drew on Monday Night Raw. Goldberg streak. He came in a couple years ago, beat Kevin Owens for the Universal title. and then went on to WrestleMania to defend the title against Brock Lesnar. He came in last year. Went to Saudi. He went to Saudi Arabia and won the championship. Then went on to lose.
But he did.
And then went on to WrestleMania to defend the championship. So he's done it twice. Say what you will about old Goldberg, the one thing you can say is that despite everything, despite age, despite his, we'll go with age catching up to him. That's the best way to describe it. Goldberg is still an attraction. He brings eyeballs to the table. He creates controversy whenever he shows up. Goldberg has a chance to be the attraction at WrestleMania one more time as a champion. Do we want to see it? No. Nobody wants to see it. People are dreading it happening. We all didn't think Goldberg was going to beat The Fiend. But he did.
Still better.
Should have never happened, but it did. Now we're in a position where Goldberg, say he wins the title, then on the other side, you give Drew McIntyre what you wanted to do last year.
What he should have had last year.
You give him the crowd pop. If Goldberg walks into WrestleMania and Drew's your number one contender by winning the Elimination Chamber, you get the pop. And you now, Drew's a three-time WWE champion in an entire year. And he gets the pop. Won't be the 80,000, but it'll be 25,000 plus fans screaming for Drew McIntyre winning the WWE championship.
And Raymond James at WrestleMania, as it should have been last year. They're basically, they can do the makeup for Drew and give him what he deserves, which, if that's the case, then I'm okay with Goldberg winning the title, because Drew absolutely deserves to win it in front of fans, but we're not going to know, again, if they're going to be able to have fans until February, so that's what makes this so dicey, because it's like, well, say they take the title off of Drew, say they put it on Goldberg, and say they can't have fans, what are they going to do?
They're going to have fans, Russell. That's a guarantee. It is a guarantee they're doing fans. It's just the amount will be determined. It's just, that's the case for Goldberg winning. Drew McIntyre retaining. People are happy. People will be excited. Then he goes on to find out who's next, to steal a phrase from Goldberg, who's next for Drew. And you look at the Royal Rumble and you go, okay, there are people. Is there an exciting matchup? I mean, there are a couple. We'll break it down. Yeah. We'll break it down later when we get into the Rumble match. But as the attraction, and WrestleMania is all about attractions, you could do Goldberg as a champion against Drew McIntyre or someone else. Because, let's face it, you could, in theory, stick an attraction versus an attraction at WrestleMania and go, here's a money match, even with a guy that you can't even see right now.
Oh God, no, please no.
But it's all possibilities, right? It's not that they're going to happen, but it's a possibility. So while it's very easy to go, okay, Goldberg wins or Drew wins, you look down the road and go, I mean, there's other things that could happen, other opportunities, other attractions. And for everything we like about Drew, Goldberg, even today, is bigger than Drew as an attraction.
Goldberg's a money ploy. He's a ratings ploy. You bring him in right at this time, similar to what he used to do with Taker and Hunter and when he worked with the company, Sting! And you had them there as your big name money attractions to help boost those ratings, to help sell those tickets, to help do what you do best, and help do what they do best. Drew would get a big bump in terms of beating Goldberg for the title, like that would help cement him. Not that he really needs it at this point, but it would help. I think it creates a problem because then you have to have somebody ready for Drew, which right now, looking at the main roster, they don't, especially on Raw, they don't really have anybody that's ready to take Drew at Mania. And I understand you have to build somebody. We have plenty of time to get there. But right now, there isn't anybody there that could really challenge Drew for the title at WrestleMania, because it seems like everybody else is tied up. So either Drew's Mania opponent is in the Rumble, or Goldberg's winning that title. And I just have to go on the side of the numbers on this. I hate to do this. Like, I really hate to pick him. But I think it's Goldberg. I think he's going to win.
It feels like it, though. But then the promo money going, where we brought up the streak thing, and Drew could go, I took his streak. But it doesn't really have a... Two is not a streak.
Congratulations, you stopped him from, like, screwing over young talent. Well done.
Yeah, it's not like, it's not a huge deal.
Like, that streak is not necessarily an impressive one to break. Like, it's a nice one because, you know, you stopped him from, like, messing you up and screwing you over a little bit. But, like, in terms of a streak, it's like, eh, eh. I don't know. I still feel like Drew is always better when he chases. And just the idea of him being in Raymond James with the crowd, however many there's going to be, because as long as there's people present, they can pump in crowd noise as they need to. And he's standing in the middle of the ring. You see people in the stands. They're cheering for him. You know, he gets that moment that he should have had last year, because as great as it was, as wonderful as it was so goddamn depressing too, because it's like, God, this is the state of everything right now, that they're doing WrestleMania in the PC with nobody there. Drew McIntyre won his very first championship ever in WWE with no fans in attendance, nobody there.
Nope.
He's alone. He can't even celebrate with his friends. They can't even come out with him because of goddamn COVID, because they're probably not even
there.
They
weren't even there. He had to fight Big Show after that.
So, like, I think he does deserve that moment in the sun. I think he does absolutely deserve to, like, even close the show with it just to have that moment. So I'm kind of going with Goldberg that he's going to give Drew the big rub at Mania.
It won't be long, but I think he'll be all right. Goldberg is your next WWE Championship. It's the one title he hasn't won.
Yeah, and he's your Hall of Famer, so, you know, you give him the one title, so he has all the accolades, and he's good to go. And just, I hope he's trained for this.
Hope he's ready for this. And take nothing away from Bray or Taker, but Drew is in much better shape than either one.
Yeah, Bray's a little heavy. Taker's a little heavy, but
Drew can help with things.
Drew can jump. Not that Bray can't, because I think Bray tried, as I recall, but Goldberg just could not pick him up.
Goldberg has a bad wing at times, so it's like, yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to pick him, but I think Goldberg's winning. Yeah, crap.
I'm just going to go Goldberg. Let's just lock it in, Goldberg and Goldberg.
I hope I'm wrong.
We hope we're wrong. But that's what we got. All right, what is our next match?
Okay, so in slightly more exciting terms, we have WWE SmackDown Women's title on the line. As Carmella is taking on Sasha Banks, we saw kind of, you know, and the whole culmination of this is Sasha agreed to give Carmella the match or another match if she got to fight Reginald on SmackDown this past Friday, which she did, which was actually pretty impressive. I have to give Reginald and Sasha props on that.
Reginald has some hops.
Like, dude can go, so all right. Also, can we just for a second talk about how they're slowly just sliding intergender wrestling just out there? No muss, no fuss, just boom, here you go kind of stuff.
Doesn't have to be made a big deal of it, just a thing. When it fits in the right situation, can happen. And it's not an every week thing or an every month thing or even an every year thing. When it happens, and it works. It worked on SmackDown. It transitioned the story. It was a plot point in the story. And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this match last month at TLC, and it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Carmella's got her legs, has had more time to get back into shape and ring shape and work on everything because she's been out of the ring. So it's like she has another chance to get in the ring. The spotlight's not, she's not in a position where she has to deliver a 5-star match. They just have to have an entertaining match. This match, unfortunately, will probably be slotted in between one of the title matches or after a rumble as sort of a cool down, but you can't really have a cool, it's hard to say cool down when there's no fans, but it's in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of winner, we just forecast Bianca versus Sasha at WrestleMania, so it would be really surprising if Carmella walked out with the title. It would be very surprising.
I think they're going to keep it on Sasha for right now, simply because, no offense to Carmella, but in terms of Mania, with it coming up, you need a main event match, you need a great match. Sasha's your girl. Sasha can show up and turn up and just knock it out of the park in terms of Mania matches. She's plenty of experience at it. Again, not knocking Carmella, but to me, the money match is Sasha Banks versus whomever at WrestleMania. That is that's your key, with Sasha as the champion.
So it's very obvious Sasha will retain at the Royal Rumble.
Well, we think it's obvious. We'll have to see. We could be wrong.
I mean, Sasha could lose and get it back. I mean, there's still 4 or 3 months.
By the way, you're not doing the Wheel of Fun and the 8-Ball?
We'll get them done. We're not doing that, though.
Okay.
It's hard to do the wheel for the Rumble matches. Maybe I'll make a wheel and put all the names on it. Maybe we'll do that. Get that done.
Okay. So up next, we have the Women's Tag Team Championships on the line as Charlotte and Asuka are taking on Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Why isn't it the Riot Squad?
They had a solid match on SmackDown.
Like, why won't you give the Riot Squad a shot?
They're the most cohesive team they have.
I really hate saying this because they fought so hard to get the women's tag titles, but they're just such a joke at this point. Like, they really, really are. Like, they've let the women's tag titles fall to the wayside. And part of that, yes, is because of the past year, but it's like you broke up one of your best tag teams that you had going in the Iconics.
You broke up a bunch of tag teams this year.
Broke up a bunch of tag teams with this year just to really put them in different tags, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You really should be, especially since you're stationary right now in Tampa, you could have your tag team champions go back and forth between shows, go to NXT if they need to. Orlando's only like an hour and a half away, and if you need to fly in private, fly in private. But, like, you could have the tag team champions do more if you need to, but they haven't really done anything with them. To no surprise at all, Charlotte was the surprise entrant, and Shayna and Asuka won the titles, which we all were kind of figuring, especially when they took Lana out of the picture. Now, speaking of her, this is where this could get interesting. Lana could play a factor in this match.
She could. She could come in and cost Nia Jax and Shayna the match, and Charlotte and Asuka could walk out and retain the titles. I don't see that, though. I think they're going to save Lana for the Rumble if she's in it. When it comes to this match, and you forecast and you look ahead and go, okay, Charlotte and Asuka are bound to do other things in WrestleMania season, so they don't need the tag team titles. But at the same point, I don't want the belts back on Nia and Shayna because they don't seem like they'll go anywhere with them.
Mm-mm.
So, to me, you keep the belts on Charlotte and Asuka for now, right? And then on this windy road to WrestleMania, and if the goal is Charlotte and Asuka in some form, you find another team for them to fight and have them drop it there. And then you could do a Charlotte-Asuka match and sort of settle whatever that is before WrestleMania, and you go from there. There are many other possibilities than what's on the table, because I don't like Nia and Shayna as the what's on the table. I don't... Yeah.
Yeah, I, no offense to either women, but I'm not here for Nia and Shayna. I don't think I ever really have been. They did the base blind build to get them together. They really haven't done a lot with them. They're not terribly intriguing to me, unfortunately. Like, individually, yes. Together, they just... And I think with more... It's just the question of they just needed more build. Like, I think what they tried to do was have this kind of frenemies sort of thing going with them, and they don't really do a lot with it. Like, they just half-ass it in terms of what it is because they don't get the screen time they need to be able to build a relationship properly and really show what it is. So it's just you have this sort of like meh sort of presentation where Shayna and Nia are very clearly trying to get something going, but they can't do it because they just don't have the resources available to them. The titles on them, then yes, they would get those resources if they were willing to push the titles, but I just don't think they're necessarily willing to do it. I think they purely got the match on the card just at this point because they have to defend every 30 days, and so far, Charlotte and Asuka have not had a title defense, I don't think.
They've wrestled as a team a few times on SmackDown, but title defense, I don't...
Unless the Riot Squad... No, the Riot Squad was one.
No, it wasn't. It was a non-title one.
Okay. So as they have yet to even defend the titles.
Wait,
so
no, wait. They did the think the Christmas episode was a title match. I think.
Was it?
The triple threat tag match was a title match. Yeah. Okay. So that was right after they won it.
Yeah. So, but they haven't had one, I don't think, since, because Asuka's been off doing her thing with Alexa, defending the title, and Charlotte's been busy with Lacey. So they haven't really defended the titles, not that they're necessarily concerned about them being defended. So you could put them on somebody like Nia and Shayna and they could defend them as they need to, and that frees up Charlotte and Asuka to do their own thing, because they're only together, clearly, with the titles. The rest of the time, they're separate, so you take the title off of them, and they can go do what they need to do. But it's also something that if they have them, you can bring them back together when you need to for a quick match.
To me, there's more of a storyline plot point with Charlotte and Asuka as the champs, rather than Nia and Shayna holding the belts again. Because even if you want to, you can take Charlotte and Asuka and go send them to NXT and have them lose to, say, you know, Indy and Candice. Or, you know, you have the Riot Squad beat them and then have Riot Squad against Candice and Indy on a show.
I think we're all here for any of those options.
So I'm going Charlotte and Asuka retain.
I do have to say that Lacey will play a factor for Charlotte, whether it's in this match or it's in the Rumble. She's going to do so, or both. She could mess with Charlotte in both. So she could very easily cost Charlotte and Asuka the titles. Alexa could also play a factor for this match because she could cost Asuka, because she's been kind of quasi-feuding with Asuka, and they could continue to build that feud between the two as Alexa haunts her.
Many possibilities, but who you got?
I'm going to stick it with Charlotte and Asuka, just because, no offense to Nia and Shayna, I just do not want... I want to see them split Shayna out, and I want to see them do something with Shayna, because they're sleeping on her, and it's just not cool. I mean, at this point, send her back down to NXT, because she did way better down there than she's doing right now on the main roster. If they don't believe in her, if they don't necessarily want her there, then put her where she can do the most good.
All right, what's next?
So up next, we have the WWE Universal Championship match, where Kevin Owens will be fighting Roman Reigns in a last man standing match. This is the result of Roman Reigns trying to bitch out Adam Pearce, and Adam Pearce not having any of Roman's shit. So he basically cards subjects to change Roman and puts Kevin in his place for a title match. Then Paul Heyman tried to set up a no DQ match. Roman didn't want to do a no DQ, so he decided instead he wanted to do a last man standing match. I don't understand why, because it's essentially the same thing.
Because he wanted to humiliate Adam Pearce in the last man standing match. That was the objective.
But he could still do that in a no DQ.
Yeah, but he didn't want to pin him. He wanted to make sure he just never got back up. That's why it was...
Why would you do that to Adam Pearce? He's such a nice man.
Because Roman Reigns is cruel, and when you cross him...
Is he cruel? Is yes. he cruel? Is he really? I question that. Or is he just sort of a punk?
He's very vindictive.
Is he?
Yes.
Because sometimes I wonder, just looking at that character, sometimes I wonder...
So, want to hear why I hate this match?
Go for it.
Because Kevin Owens is going to lose again.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
That's why I hate this match. I mean, shouldn't say he's going to lose again. Because we've seen in past Royal Rumble histories, you can have the champion lose the title and a new champion is crowned on these shows. And then the champion can regain it. There's months. The famous, you know, you've had Rock and Mankind feud over a title leading change like four times before they even set up Austin and The Rock at WrestleMania that one year in 99. But Kevin Owens is coming off of a period where he's fighting for his family, and that's the driving force. He's fighting for his family. But we just saw him lose at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. We saw him lose again on Christmas. Two championship matches. Two losses. This would be the third if he were to lose here. In none of them would he have been pinned. He didn't get pinned in TLC, he didn't get pinned in the cage, and he won't get pinned here. So you're saving Kevin Owens from being pinned. You could do a big, big explosive spot. Kevin can't get back up. I feel for the Kevin Owens character where it's like, okay, now I've lost three championship matches and didn't get anything out of it. You weren't elevated to a spot because now, as we go to WrestleMania season, he's now lost three and maybe even four. Because if the title's on the line in a chamber match, he would probably be inside the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not and they have to determine the contender, he would probably not win that because he's probably not going to WrestleMania as a champion. So he's lost big match after big match after big match. So the Kevin Owens character is taking a real big hit. That's my biggest problem with it. Not the story they're telling, not anything like that, not the match itself, but the aftermath of what it can be. Because I can circle back to what happened last year with Randy and Drew. Randy kept losing to Drew until he got the win. And that helped the character. Because Randy losing multiple championship matches would have hurt him. Only a win and a month saved the character. So coming into this one, could Kevin Owens win and save the character at least 1 month, even a week? Because who knows? Kevin Owens could win the title on Sunday and lose it on Friday. But the character was still saved because he got a win. He beat the bully. He dethroned him. He took him out. Got the win. And if you remember, a couple months ago, the Roman Reigns title reign wasn't meant to be long lasting.
Yeah, right.
You brought Roman back to all of him and be a 3-week transitional champion.
Yeah, right.
So here's my thing. Roman's trying to play a very psychological chip on his shoulder character, and this is going to play into the men's rumble. I'll get into this more in the men's rumble. At some point, somebody kind of has to one-up him again, right? Like, somebody has to get the best of him. Somebody has to outplay him. And if anybody can do it, it's Kevin Owens. And Adam Pearce kind of one-upped him. Like, Adam Pearce used his authority in the right way and was like, look, I'm not cleared to wrestle. I'm not going to fight you. I don't have to take this from you. But I'm going to get somebody to fight you. Somebody that I know is going to whoop your ass. And that's Kevin Owens. This will play to both their strengths because this can get very, very violent. And honestly, I'm going to say this straight up. If they decide to do this very slow plotting style that Roman tends to like to do, I want Kevin to scream at him. Like, I want Roman to scream at Kevin, and Kevin screams right back at him, defiantly, the entire time. Because that's what Kevin's really, really good at. Like, I feel like they could play to all Kevin's strengths and make something really great, but I hate that he's probably going to lose. I don't think he's a psychopath, Ash. He's not really playing it as a psychopath. He's playing it as a very methodical, almost bitter kind of character where he has like these bursts of anger. It's almost abusive. I'm just gonna say it. Like, it's almost borderline abusive in terms of physical and verbal, in terms of how he treats people. Like, you look at the way that he treats Jay, you look at the way that he treats Heyman, and it's really almost an abusive relationship where it's very much, I have all the power, I have all the control, and you have to do what I say or I'm just gonna smack the shit out of you. That's really kind of what it is. And it's not a bad character. It's not a great character to me. Like, it doesn't resonate with me, but it's not necessarily designed to. But that's just kind of how I see it. Anyway, I hate that Kevin's going to lose this match. However, the family factor could be a problem for Roman, right? Because Heyman could cost him. Jay could cost him. Jimmy could show back up.
He could.
Like, because is Jimmy Uso better? Do we know?
He's targeted around these next month or so, I think.
So he could absolutely show up and cost Roman and play a factor in Roman. Another surprise could happen. Like, the thing is last man standing, so anybody can get involved.
Jay will be involved for sure.
Jay will be involved for sure. Heyman will be involved for sure. You need somebody to be involved on Kevin's side to help balance the numbers. So whoever steps in to help Kevin, whether it is Adam Pearce, he steps in to do something. Because Roman beat him up on SmackDown. So Adam Pearce could be like, all right, let's go. And he helps Kevin. We don't know. But I think the end result, based on how I'm going to pick for the Rumble, Roman's going to keep his championship. As much as I love Kevin, as much as I want to see him win the title and be the champion just to get Roman's go, it's not going anywhere. It's staying on Roman.
Yeah, unfortunately, as I can make the argument for Kevin as I did, where he could win it and then lose it, it just feels like a Roman Reigns win.
They don't necessarily have any reason to take the title off of Roman right now. I think they are making every effort to make him the top heel of SmackDown, and they are succeeding, and that's great. I think Roman's perfectly happy where he's at, and he's really carrying SmackDown right now. Like, they have purposefully made SmackDown his show.
And you don't make him the champion to have it, like, him and not, or, and be, make him the champion and build this character for him not to be in a WrestleMania main event.
Yep.
So could he lose? Yes, because we've seen it. We've seen The Rock and Mick Foley. We've seen Mick Foley win the title, or The Rock. We've seen The Rock win the title at the Royal Rumble and then lose it on Halftime Heat, only to win it back at St. Valentine's Day Massacre. It's possible.
I just don't think it does Kevin any favors to win it here and then lose it at WrestleMania, because then they're just, you're kind of projecting what's going to happen.
Right. I don't think, I would never expect Kevin to get to WrestleMania with the title. I would expect him to lose it in a week or two if he got it. I hate what it's going to do to the character, because now he's in limbo going into Mania, so you got to find him a story, because with the work he's put in, he deserves a spot. I don't know what the spot is, but here we are.
Kevin's been turning up, and he's been turning in some of the best stuff he's ever done.
He's been very passionate.
And I think part of that is because the break that he took really, really helped him, and he had a lot of personal issues that he had to deal with, and I think that's playing into what he's doing right now. Because essentially it's, you know, it's Kevin had to work for everything, and Roman didn't necessarily have to work for everything. That's kind of the story that they're telling.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Kevin's just been doing a great, wonderful job with it.
Okay. So we have one last match to get into.
We do. It's the men's Royal Rumble match, where anything is possible. Anyone can win, except for Bray Wyatt.
Even he could win.
Well, I don't have faith, but we'll get into that. And yeah, so do you want to go down your list of maybes?
Before we get into that, before we get into maybes and everything like that, I want to talk about this match in particular.
Hmm.
So we looked at we talked about the women's match, right?
Uh-huh.
And we go, there's a lot of openings. In this one, they haven't announced everyone, but the roster is so full, and in 2021 with COVID and everything, it doesn't make sense to bring in a lot of outside factors when you've brought in your outside factor. You brought in Goldberg, you brought in the big returning name as, okay, this is a surprise. Could you have someone show up in this match and go, yeah, that's a cool surprise. Yeah, we're probably going to get one or two of them. I couldn't think of them because I went, okay, there isn't really, when it comes to legends, there aren't that many that can go at this stage. Like, because a lot of who you could bring in and other names or could be working elsewhere, or just they don't need to bring them in because you've brought back a lot of people, and you have a lot of people coming back on this show, assuming you have people coming back or being brought up to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
You have a guy like Seth Rollins, the first maybe. We haven't seen him, and it feels like a long time. It's only been since the middle of November we haven't seen him, but it feels like forever since we've seen Seth Rollins. He could come in, quite frankly, win the entire thing and go to WrestleMania, because guess what? He's a WrestleMania main eventer. Flat out, he's a main eventer whenever he steps in the ring. So, like, he's a maybe going, okay, he's some. And then you look at names they've come up with as, like, Damian Priest.
No, I love Damian.
No, I'm not talking about winning. I'm just bringing in names. Damian Priest is a name, like, that's a pop, in theory, to coming in. We haven't seen Keith Lee in a few weeks. He can come in and go, boom, I'm Keith Lee. You don't have spots where you go, I don't know, this person could pop up. Yeah, they could pop up. Braun Strowman, another one that could just pop up because we haven't seen them. So they're big returns in the Rumble. And that's cool about the Rumble. Big return. You look at Edge last year. Big return. Again, and now this year, another big return for Edge. So my first name, going all the way back around, was Seth Rollins. What are your thoughts on Seth and his chances?
So here's the thing. Seth has been on paternity leave since Survivor Series because he welcomed his child with Becky Lynch. You have the opportunity here to reinvent Seth once again.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the cult leader character that he's been doing. I think there's enough time between when he faced Bray to now that you can reasonably transition him to a more face, maybe tweener style character. And Seth is a really good possibility to win. because you bring him back as a surprise, he goes through, he wins the whole thing, and you have him challenge Roman. Because Roman's character has more or less sold out, right? Like, he's just bought into being champion and being greedy and representing a lot of these really negative morals in under the disguise that he's doing it for his family. If anybody can relate to that, it's Seth Rollins. And Seth could be the type of person that can absolutely call Roman out on his shit, and not only call him out on it, but challenge him and actually get one over on Roman and actually stand a really good chance of beating Roman. I know we have seen Seth and Roman in the past, but it's like Seth has typically always been the heel and Roman's been the big baby face. Now it's flipped. And I feel like they could really tell a very strong story between these two, and you could build a long story between them where you bring up the past and all the sins of the past and everything that's happened, because you have it there from the groundwork of the Shield to the betrayal to everything after, right? You could just tell this really great story between Roman and Seth. So I think if Seth does come back, he does stand a strong chance of winning and going on to challenge Roman.
So, one point about Seth Rollins. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins can have a verbal battle that could really get really personal. Like, Seth Rollins, as you said, could call Roman Reigns out on everything. But Roman's only retort can, and it's a good one, weren't you the guy, you know, being the Messiah for the last year? What, you know?
Weren't you the guy that sold your soul to the authority?
Yeah. And what's changed now? And then you can make it personal with him. Because now Seth Rollins wasn't fighting for his family then. Now
he's a father now.
He's a father now. You could get real personal real quick, and that's how you make Seth Rollins a babyface.
I would just minimize Becky in this.
Yeah, you don't...
You don't bring Becky into this.
I mean, you could. You could. You can name drop her all you want.
But keep the focus on them. Keep the focus about them. Keep the focus on the past.
But if you want to humanize Seth, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. I think that would be really, really, really good and really, really strong. Now, there's another name that's been thrown around that a lot of people have said is obvious. That is Daniel Bryan.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I think a lot of people want Bryan versus Roman. It's really the ultimate good versus the ultimate, not, I don't want to say bad or evil, but the, I guess, ultimate heel.
It's the ultimate heel. And it's also the thing that makes everything come full circle. Because everything, the course we're on now, all started way back when, with Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns, many a moon ago.
Where Bryan was, the people wanted Bryan to win the Rumble, he didn't win the Rumble, Roman won the Rumble, and the crowd just turned on him.
And now we're full circle, the crowd, quotation, hates Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan is a good guy.
It's an intriguing story. It would definitely be worthy of WrestleMania for sure. I don't know if I want to pick Bryan just because it's that obvious.
He said it on SmackDown. He's never won the Rumble. So that makes everyone going, this could be his year. Because as you look at everything, you go, how many more years does Daniel Bryan have of being the top guy? Right now, he doesn't even feel like a top guy. And mm-mm. That's the hardest thing to get behind. It doesn't feel it. Mainly, yes, his shtick is missing. It's not the same. He was the thing the fans rallied behind. It's missing. And he's also been losing. But winning a Rumble changes all that. But he's trying to make other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I can see why people pick Bryan, why it's the easy pick, why he's the betting 1v1 pick. He's the smart money is going to Daniel Bryan, because it's obvious. But only obvious, as said in the other match, there are many other ways to get to the obvious outcome you want. You don't need to do it here to get to there, because the road is many stops on that fast lane to WrestleMania.
Yep.
So I don't discount Bryan winning. I could very easily see him winning. It would be a cool moment. I would have no problem with it. But it's very obvious to pick it.
Mm-hmm.
What is another name on your list?
So another name, and he's due back, I think, any time, is Braun Strowman. You could have Braun Strowman. And again, this is another sort of do-over from WrestleMania last year's. You have Braun Strowman win the Rumble. He challenges Goldberg at WrestleMania, and he beats Goldberg for the title at WrestleMania in front of the fans in Raymond James, because Braun like Drew won his very first title at WrestleMania in the PC last year, and he was on his own. And on top of that, Braun got thrown into it last minute. He wasn't even supposed to be in that match.
He wasn't even in the town. He was driving home to Wisconsin.
Because he was booked.
Had to be flown back that night.
So Braun did his due diligence, and he came back, and he took Roman's place because Roman decided, hey, I don't feel safe. I'm going to go home and chill for however long he was home, like 5 months or whatever, which is completely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So it's like I could see them giving Braun his due, especially with him coming back after being injured, and he's gotten himself into just tremendous shape based on everything that you see on Instagram. He looks fantastic. So I could absolutely see him coming back and just dominating in the Rumble and winning. And he goes on to challenge Goldberg to take Goldberg's title.
It's a possibility. I don't see it, but he's a strong contender to be in the final four, to be a dominating factor in this Rumble, because it's Braun Strowman, the monster among men. He can toss people around.
Mm-hmm.
Who else on your list?
Up next, Edge.
The rated R superstar. Coming back to recapture the title he never lost. But that title doesn't exist.
Nope.
It's melded into the WWE Championship, but that belt doesn't exist. Because Lindsay was there. She saw him retain big gold on that night.
And then he retired, and I was very sad. Yes, I did. I did see him win that title. But here's the thing, like, if Edge wins, you can point him at either Roman or whoever wins Goldberg-Drew, assuming it's Drew.
Or even Goldberg.
You can... I wouldn't put him in there with Goldberg.
But spear versus spear, it's marketable. It's...
Oh, it's totally marketable, but...
I'm just saying that.
Edge is another person that if you pointed him at Roman, he could absolutely do a great program with Roman. He could do a great program with Goldberg. He could do a great program with Drew. He's a 100% WrestleMania main eventer. He will make anything he does fantastic. And, you know, it's basically... He had that big return at the 2020 Royal Rumble. He then got hurt. He's now making his big return once again. What a better way to, you know, celebrate your return than getting a big win?
It's no longer about chasing that one more match. It's about chasing a championship. A driven Edge, a focused Edge, is a dangerous Edge.
Oh, yes.
So Edge versus Drew, that's a headlining match. Edge versus Roman, that's marquee. That's also personal.
Mm-hmm.
Family, having little girls to fight for.
Well, and again,
personal.
Edge can look at Roman and be like, I have been exactly where you are right now.
Yep.
Because let's not forget, back in his heyday, Edge carried SmackDown. Edge built himself from being a tag team guy and kind of dismissed to being the star of SmackDown and carrying that show. He did everything. He was SmackDown for a long, long time. So he's been exactly where Roman is right now. And if anybody can speak to Roman about it, it's him. So you can have him be like, you're on the misguided path. You think that you're owed something. You're not owed anything. And you can have him sort of be that sort of dad sort of figure to Roman, where he tries to tell him, look, you're doing it wrong. And they fight about it. Plus, it would be a good match. It would actually be a great match between the two, because they would just go at each other. And Edge could give that little, like, oomph to Roman that he kind of needs.
Edge can give revenge on Orton. Yeah, he could. He could. And they could do another match, too.
You can do Edge versus Orton, really, at any point. They did it last year. That's how Edge got hurt.
They did it twice last year. Got hurt on the greatest match ever.
I mean, at this point, I don't think Edge versus Orton necessarily holds much appeal for a lot of people. Plus, I think you're going to have a moment with them in the Rumble that could just resolve that. But also, just going back to Edge versus Roman for a second, Roman can't necessarily laud over Edge like he can everybody else. Edge is a multi-time world champion, tag champion, IC champion, I think, U.S. champion. Like, I think he's a Grand Slam champion at this point several times over.
Lindsay, you're missing one thing.
What?
Hall of Famer.
Well, I was going to get to that.
It's bringing it up.
So, you know, Edge's credentials and Roman's credentials, Edge has way more over Roman. So Roman can't kind of be there, well, I'm supporting you, I'm paying your paychecks. No, you're not in the case of Edge. If anybody's paying anybody's bills, Edge is probably paying Roman's. Although it would be close. But, yeah. It would be an interesting feud. You could also, like I said, point Edge at Drew, and it would still be... Yeah, he's won a crap ton of belts. Like I said, multi-time, I think, Grand Slam winner. Because he held the SmackDown title. God.
Many times. So at one point on Edge, and then based on what Chad was saying, with everything that's happened in the last year with Edge, and the big injury, if you're going to get the mileage out of Edge, you don't need to go back to Randy... Because if you want to make this work, let him fight others, because you can always go back.
And I think, too, with Edge, they're having him go out and wrestle based on who he wants to wrestle. Like, he went back to Randy because he wanted to wrestle Randy one more time. Like, that was right out of the gate. I think Randy was one of the people he actually came back for, was to have that one more match with him, just because they always have a great match, and he personally enjoys working with Randy. So that's why they went there with it, but I think they're working on his bucket list while also trying to build feuds with him to get the mileage out of him. Plus, I think Randy's going to be just, I don't know, just a tad occupied.
A little bit occupied. All right, what's another name?
All right, I've seen it kind of thrown out in chat. He hasn't had much of a presence. We haven't been able to bask in his glory recently, but Keith Lee is a strong contender. He had a great showing last year. He could have an equally great, if not greater, showing this year. And he could be a winner. And you can point him at Drew, and they can have a fantastic match together.
If you're looking to make a quick star, have Keith Lee win your Royal Rumble, point him at Drew, go to WrestleMania, crown Keith Lee over Drew. Now you've taken what you've done with Drew as a champion for a year. Now you sprinkle that magic dust on Keith Lee and go from there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to happen, but it's a real possibility.
It's a huge possibility. I mean, they like Keith Lee. They want to do something with him. I think they're just trying to figure out what to do with him. So I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he doesn't at least make the final four.
He could be in there. Okay, so I know we have a couple of names left to talk about, but I want to mention one thing that I want to see happen on this show.
Hmm.
If they're both in it.
Hmm.
I want to see Dominic Mysterio throw out his father out of the Royal Rumble.
Yes!
If they both make the Rumble match, I want that to happen so bad.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa, yeah, either way.
Mysterio on Mysterio betrayal. We need it in our lives.
We need it to happen.
Because basically Dominic isn't doing things Rey's way, so Rey's got to learn the boy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think you have, how many more names left? One or two?
I have one.
Okay, and one ties into the other.
Yes.
I want to throw out some honorable mentions that could maybe win. Okay?
Okay.
Always a contender, your U.S. champion, Bobby Lashley.
Absolutely.
Always a contender, brother Nero, Jeff Hardy. Because he has that instant star power to go to WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
AJ Styles, another certified main eventer, could win the thing. He's never done it, could do it. Those are some honorable mentions of names that could, in fact, do it. Another name, honorable mention, because... he's been thrown out there. Big E.
Now, here's the thing. I discount Big E a little bit just because he's already a champion.
Like, they gave him that moment.
They could give him that moment and they could move him on to another title. Absolutely. And I'm here for him winning. But I don't think Big E as much because they just made him IC champion. Like, they just did it. He's in the feud with Sammy. That's going to continue after the Royal Rumble. So I just don't see Big E winning.
Like,
but I would love it if he did.
Like, he's an interesting name, but the problem with Big E is the clash with Roman just doesn't seem like it meshes well. Like, character-wise and telling a story, feels like it's, to me, in my head right now, it's missing something. Could they flip it and reverse it and go, boom, it works? Yeah, you've seen the interactions with Big E and Heyman on Talking Smack, and it works. You can get E serious and it works. I think E needs to simmer and boil some more before he's ready to come out of the pot on his own.
I think if you're going to point E at Roman, because Roman is probably going to WrestleMania as champion, he's probably walking out of WrestleMania as champion, that you point E at Roman for about SummerSlam, and you really, really, like you said, just build that story between the two, and just to have them sort of flirt with each other until you get to right around SummerSlam, and then you just hit the gas on it.
But, and again, I would not be surprised if, hey, Big E won this match. Fantastic. I'm on board.
I'm here for it. And you know what? I'm going to throw out another name. Xavier Woods. It's not King of the Ring, but you know what? Royal Rumble? Here we go. Xavier can carry. Xavier can be serious. He's wonderful on the mic. He can turn up and put in a great match. I think he would work really well with Roman. I think he would work really well with Drew. It's not, I think, as big of a money match as what people would say it would be, but I think it would still be a really good feud. And it would help to establish Xavier as a singles wrestler. Because honestly, Kofi got his shot. He's getting his shot. Xavier should get his. Oh. Xavier should 100% get the chance to be a single star and have single success.
All possibilities. We should now talk about the fiend in the room.
Yeah, let's talk about him.
So the other option is Randy Orton. Burnt-faced Randy.
Poor Randy.
Coming into a Royal Rumble to sort of regain his spot and head on to WrestleMania to get the championship, no matter what the fiend may or may not do. Because in Randy's mind, the fiend's dead.
Is he, though?
But in Alexa's mind, he's still alive and just waiting to strike. His presence is still there. He's controlling Alexa. Randy Orton, a couple years ago, when he was a part of a family, won this match. And then it all went downhill from there for Bray. He won the title and then lost it to Randy WrestleMania. So coming full circle, this is a moment that could happen. Randy could, quite frankly, win the Royal Rumble and no one would blink an eye. But Randy's not going to win because there's a fiend lurking around that could possibly show up and just say, hey, I'm here, and you're mine, and lead to whatever they're going to do next. My whacked out scenario is you have Randy get taken out by the fiend, and then we end the show with him in the funhouse, or Bray Wyatt, I should say, takes out Randy, and then we take him to the funhouse, and we meet the new fiend to end the show. That's my whacked out mind. You take him through all the stuff, because you can. And here's the thing. I say this, and I thought of this, 2 weeks ago, I think it was?
Mm-hmm.
What was the thing that came out this week? There's a really weird scenario to end the Royal Rumble. It's getting a lot, there's a lot of legs on something weird, I don't know. But having them end the night meeting the new fiend is something, and you can go back to the pun and everything in the funhouse and how it all began and where it really began to take the downward turn for him. Yes. And all that. You could do that.
Here's the thing with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. As you mentioned, it all traces back to Randy Orton. The birth of Bray Wyatt is directly in response to Randy Orton punting a certain Mr. Husky Harris in the head.
Yep.
And sending him back to FCW, whereupon he reinvented himself as Bray Wyatt. And all of Bray's misfortunes, all of his problems, stem back to Randy. He lost the title to Randy. His personal life imploded because of Randy. He lost his family. He lost his compound. There's been a lot of very clear messages in what Bray's been doing over the last 12 months that tie back to Randy, that tie back to specific moments with him and Bray's misfortunes. So they aren't done with each other, and Bray could start to do the same thing to Randy. Because again, the fiend is a manifestation of Bray Wyatt's need to have revenge. Every feud Bray has been him taking revenge on someone that has wronged him, somebody that has hurt him, somebody that has taken something from him. Randy Orton is sort of the culmination of that revenge, because Randy took the most. Randy took his family. Randy took his title. Randy took his compound. In a lot of ways, Randy took his faith from him. He lost faith in himself. He lost his way. And because of that, he ended up getting thrown into a lake of reincarnation and made Matt Hardy's bitch.
Yes.
And then everything, and then he was off TV for a year because they just didn't have a direction for him, and that's where the Fiend was born. So this is going to be the culmination for the Fiend in terms of his revenge story. What you do with him from there, I don't know. Can I see him screwing Randy out of this match? Yes. I don't think he's necessarily alive. I think he's regenerating a la, you know, Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees and that kind of thing, because that's what he's really heavily based in, is that type of lore. So Randy burns him alive, kills him in quotations, and Randy thinks he's dead. Except Alexa keeps, you know, coming around, and we've noticed a change in Alexa, where she's getting darker, and she's getting more powerful. She can do things like throw fire and change personalities at will, whereas before, to change her personality, she needed a trigger. Now she doesn't need it. She can just do it whenever she wants. She can reappear, disappear. She can summon a rocking horse. She can summon a swing set. She can summon really whichever she wants. And what was interesting was on Raw, when she was doing the Alexis Playground, and she did the Let Me In, was they had the little, like, Fiend face imposed over her, very similar to the doll.
And his voice.
And his voice. You're having Alexa kind of go through a metamorphosis very similar to what probably Bray is doing off screen. And so, could we see the Fiend's quote-unquote next form at the Rumble? Absolutely. Will we? I don't know. I can see Randy getting messed with. I can see it being Alexa. I can almost see, like, the Fiend's burned, melted mask or the jacket or something of the Fiend, like, almost like the outfit, the gear, and the mask appearing in the ring where the Fiend died. Or, like, a burn spot where the Fiend died. In quotations, died. Something like that to mess with Randy. And they do kind of what they did before, where they sort of, imply that it's all in Randy's head, but it's not. And that's what costs him the Rumble. Because let's not forget that he gave the RKO to Alexa on Monday as a direct response to try and draw out the Fiend. Because I don't think Randy believes that he's dead, but he's continuing to try to get to the Fiend. And he knows he can get to him through Alexa. It's just he's got to get his hands on Alexa, which he had a shot to light her on fire about a couple weeks after the Fiend got lit up, and he couldn't do it. And he's hated himself ever since, and because of that, she burned his face. So now he's RKO'd her, which would prompt a response from the Fiend. I don't know about them going to the Funhouse. I think it's a cool concept, but I would almost save the Funhouse for, like, Chamber or Fastlane.
And they could. It was a random thought of how... It was my thought of how to get Randy out of the match without him being physically tossed out over the top rope, and you set the stage for what's next.
Well, what you could do, what you absolutely could do, is you have Bray take him, and then that's the lead into Monday Night Raw, is what happened to Randy Orton? Where is Randy Orton? And you almost see, like, throughout the show on Monday Night Raw, like, these snippets of Randy going through the Funhouse, but it's not actually the Funhouse match itself, where Bray is just bringing up the past and bringing up the reasons, and then at the end of the show, that's when you see the new Fiend, or whatever incarnation Bray Wyatt is coming back as.
We'll have to see if that happens. So we've boiled it down, kind of. We have strong contenders. But who's the winner?
Honestly, I have to go with Seth Rollins. I think, to me, it's the strongest story. You definitely have possibilities elsewhere. But if you're going to do... assuming Goldberg wins the title, and this is what I'm basing my decision on, assuming Goldberg wins the title against Drew, it's going to be Drew versus Goldberg probably at Mania. So you need to create a challenger for Roman. You do it here with the Rumble, and you could have Seth win the Rumble, and he goes on to challenge Roman, and you do the feud between Roman and Seth.
Okay.
What about you?
Instinct goes Daniel Bryan would be a perfect contender. Seth Rollins being a perfect contender. But I think the passion we saw on Monday in the promo, I think every good story has a good redemption arc. Edge fills that story. And Edge is such a character, a dynamic character. He can work either side. He can work Raw. He can work SmackDown. He can be good. He can be evil. But the redemption arc is there for him. So to me, when it all boils down to it, Edge is your guy, because they have a two-night WrestleMania. Edge should be in one of the prime spots in a main event to carry the show, because he's earned it, he deserves it, and he's one of the best you got. People can talk about all the names that you could possibly return on this show. There's a whole bunch of them. From the guy who 7 years ago walked out on the company following this match, who was the best in the world.
I don't think you're going to see that happen.
No, but they're all theories. To a beast incarnate.
Wouldn't that be awkward for Roman if Brock won the Rumble and challenged Roman? What would Heyman do?
It would be something. But they're all names. They're all possibilities. And at the end of it all, that's what makes the Royal Rumble so damn good.
And what's great about this year is we don't have any idea where they're going.
You think? You may know, but you don't know for sure until Sunday. That's the fun of it. And even come Sunday, that's only one path for WrestleMania, you know. Only one.
Mm-hmm.
Because you still have 2.5 months and 2 pay-per-views before you get to the end of the line. And that is our Royal Rumble preview.
Ding!
We told you we'd be here a while.
There's a lot to talk about with this show. There is a ton to talk about, just in terms of all the possibilities that are there. And we didn't even go into all the possibilities. We could have looked at everybody. But we selected our own, what we feel are the maybes, just to narrow it down a little bit.
Right.
But
and
yeah.
And we've given honorable mentions, and we made sure you know, yeah, there's stuff. Because
but, you know,
it's so much going on, so many roads. It makes it fun, and that's what you want for WrestleMania. That's what you want for wrestling. Go ahead.
But yeah, you want to be surprised.
Yeah, I do. I don't want to see the stock standard answer win the Royal Rumble. It's not that fun. Like Sheamus won, right? He won one.
Mm-hmm.
It was a surprise. Alberto Del Rio, it was a surprise. Going way back when Luger and Bret Hart tied a Rumble. Yeah. Going way back when you knew he was going to win. Coming and it's like it's the Edge story, coming back off of a concussion, and then you built the boyhood dream, believing in that Shawn Michaels character. Like, that's the fun of it. Even if you know, you go on that ride and have so much fun with it. That's why I love the Royal Rumble, because it takes you on that journey. It's why I'm sitting here watching. Been watching them all week. They're cool. They're fun. And goddamn, I'm gonna miss the crowd. But I hope they put up like the. They take away the crowd and you do 10, you flash it on the screens and you make it visually like something.
I hope they pump in like the 10, 9, they, 8, like, oh, the crowd noise.
They will. They 100% will.
Like, I hope they pump in the noise. I hope they make it like really special this year. Because, again, we are still in the COVID era, although people are trying to fix it. But yeah, we're still in the COVID era, and we're still going to be here for a while. So they've got to come up with a fun, inventive way to really make the Rumble shine, and I think they're going to do it.
I'm looking forward to Sunday.
Also, I just have to give props to WWE's graphics department for a second, because like some of the graphics they've been turning out for this have been sick.
The comic book style is awesome.
Like, I saw one promo image for the Charlotte Nia or the women's tag team match, and it was like, that is hot. Like, that is a really nice image. Somebody deserves a raise for that, because that's beautiful. But yeah, with that, I think we're done. What do you think?
Yeah, we're done.
All right. So as you can tell, it's very late here. No Fortnite with friends tonight, but that's okay, because we will be back Saturday, right?
We'll be back Saturday with more. My voice is spent. I can't do it anymore. So no Fortnite with friends tonight. It's 12:08 on the East Coast. It's late. So, sorry if you're looking for Fortnite. We'll have more of it Saturday. Speaking of Saturday, it's another edition of Superior, SuperLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com, at midnight-ish Eastern. Wrestle Talk Radio will be live after the Royal Rumble to review it all. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night to review the entire thing. Break it down piece by piece by piece. Give you your best moments or worst moments and everything in between. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms and wherever you get your podcasts. Go to wildtalkradio.com/dishingitout. You can get my predictions for the Royal Rumble order for both Rumbles. I like to break them down. They're always wrong, but it's fun. It's Rumble. It's stuff. So go to wildtalkradio.com/dishingitout. It's all there. Make sure you go to youtube.com/rockradioshow. I'm trying to figure out when to post a video, but there's a cool video I came up with, and we're going to post that hopefully sometime this weekend. So subscribe to youtube.com/rockradioshow. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store. Get Hitman 3, use the code. It helps us out tremendously. I think that's it. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. That's where you go. facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. That's where you can post your picks starting tomorrow after SmackDown, when hopefully there's a full official card.
Please. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at LensWard, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.